What does Halloween have to do with the stock market? There is something called the Halloween indicator, and it could be flashing a clear, bright orange sign that says the best 6 months for stocks is about to begin. We'll talk to Mark Holbert. He's a senior columnist at MarketWatch.com. Straight ahead.
You're listening to Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Financial insights that help you get ahead.
All right, Mark, you have everyone's interest now. Halloween indicator, what the heck is this? Is this just something dreamt up like the Super Bowl indicator?
Well, believe it or not, I don't think so, though I have to say that I share your skepticism that comes through in your question. I think a lot of the so-called indicators that Wall Street likes to cook up have absolutely no statistical validity. But this one, the Halloween indicator, I'll explain it in a minute, seems to have met the standards of rigorous statistical scrutiny, which is amazing. The Halloween indicator is almost too good to be true. It basically says there's a six-month positive time for the market, and then that's followed by a six-month negative period for the market. The six-month positive period begins on Halloween, which is why it's called the Halloween indicator. The 6 months less from Halloween to May Day. And historically, believe it or not, the bulk, not all, but almost all, the net returns of the stock market have been produced in that six-month period. The other 6 months, the one that begins on May Day and lasts to Halloween, have produced very little net positive returns for the stock market, which is why this indicator is sometimes also referred to as sell in May and go away. And one of the leading academic researchers into this indicator has looked at this particular seasonal pattern, not just in the U.S. stock market, but in every foreign stock market for which historical data exists, going back, believe it or not, as far as 1694 for the United Kingdom. And he found significant, statistically significant evidence of this seasonal pattern as far back as then. So this is not some Johnny-come-lately indicator that conforms only to a pattern seen over a year or two. It has a significant amount of historical support in its behalf.
And as editor of the Holbert Financial Digest, you actually went back and looked at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, what, going back to the 1800s?
Well, that's right. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was created in the late 1800s. So I have about 120 years worth of data for it. And sure enough, it does indeed conform to this pattern. And I report about it, showing that I think the average return during the quote-unquote winter months, the ones that begin in Halloween and end in May Day, are 3 or 4 percentage points higher than what you see in the countervening summer months.
Try to put your finger on the reason. Tell us why we would have this sort of seasonal impact, if it is indeed an impact, on investing.
Well, I think, by the way, it's a theory because no one seems to know for sure. But you're absolutely right to ask the question. It turns out that statistical patterns that have no underlying rationale are probably that much more suspect. In this particular case, this leading researcher, his name is Ben Jacobson, by the way. He's at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. The theory that he's able to find some evidence for that's correlated with this is the fact that during the summer, traders go on vacation. Hardly an earth-shattering thought, but it turns out that there is a very well-known relationship between trading volume and the stock market. Higher volume tends to lead to higher prices. And a lot of people, it turns out, when they go on vacation, they tend to just get out of the market because they don't want to have to be watching the market on a daily or minute-by-minute basis while they're lying on the beach or wherever they go for their summer vacation. And the way that Professor Jacobson studied this, which is intriguing, is he looked at the strength and length of the tradition in the culture towards having a summer vacation and the strength of this Halloween indicator, and he found that there was some correlation. In Europe, for example, there's an even stronger tradition that you go on a summer vacation. I think France comes out at the top, that it's almost de rigueur that you take a certain number of weeks, and everyone does, and indeed, the Halloween indicator is even stronger there than we've seen in the U.S. market. That's what led Professor Jacobson to think that it's the summer vacation that leads to this particular seasonal pattern.
And just because we are seeing this so-called Halloween indicator, that doesn't mean the bear market possibilities are diminished, right? We could still have a bear market.
Absolutely, and it's worth making the qualification that's embedded in your question because there are no guarantees. And even if the Halloween indicator worked each and every year in the past, which it hasn't. But even if so, you still can't guarantee that the future is going to be like the past. So that's, we can bet on it. It's a rational basis on which to bet, but it's not a guarantee. So we need to remember, A, that there are no guarantees. Secondly, of course, it's not true that that bear markets have completely missed the winter months. I mean, but what it is true is that historically, even during bear markets, the market has done better during the winter months than in the summer months. And we have to look only as far back as the 2008-2009 bear market, which was one of the worst in history, of course. And yet it was the period beginning on October through the following May Day that were the relatively good months. And it was the period between May Day and October 31 that was some of the worst. In fact, you look at back, it was Merrill Lynch going under and Lehman Brothers going bankrupt. I mean, Merrill Lynch didn't go under, but it was acquired almost out of the snatches of bankruptcy court by Bank of America. All of that turmoil happened in September of 2008, we may recall, and that, of course, occurred during the time when those who sold in May and went away were comfortably in cash.
And Mark, people who are hearing this, who are thinking of retiring soon or actually in retirement, what advice do you have for them?
Well, it's, again, a fair question. I first of all, you need to take into account the tax consequences of going back and forth. And it may be that you don't go completely to cash between May Day and Halloween. There are ways of playing this indicator by simply going to more defensive stocks and defensive sectors. So, for example, some of the consumer staples sectors of the market do tend to hold their own better during the summer than some of the more industrials and other cyclical stocks. And so it doesn't automatically mean that you go all to cash, or even if you were to reduce your cash position, that you continue to hold the same stocks. So there's a number of ways of playing it. But it is one of the more interesting seasonal patterns. It's not something that we've just after the fact tried to retrofit to the data. In fact, Professor Jacobson found evidence as early as the 1930s in the Financial Times in London talking about this indicator. And what's intriguing is that most of the time indicators stop working the moment that journalists like you and me tend to note them, because that means more and more people tend to put their money in and discount away what otherwise existed. In this case, we have nearly 80 or 90 years now of data, at least since the indicator first got widespread mention. And so it's intriguing. Would I say that you follow this indicator at the expense of looking at anything else? Of course not. It's just one straw in the wind. But nonetheless, it does coincide with the relatively happy news to report that we're about to begin the six-month favorable period for stocks.
Amazing how people can dig into data out there and come up with these theories like the Halloween indicator and the Super Bowl indicator. And I'm sure someone's going to come up with the groundhog indicator at some point. How much faith do you put in this theory, Mark?
Well, as I was saying earlier, I wouldn't put a lot of faith in most of them. In fact, the key thing is just to subject every single one of them to statistical scrutiny, because most of them are after the fact. Like as you mentioned in your question, most people after the fact try to retrofit the data, and you can torture the data to say almost anything you want it to say, but that doesn't mean that it actually exists. And so the key test of any particular indicator is whether it continues to work after it has been mentioned in the press. So that's a quote-unquote real-time test of it. So most of the indicators that people come up with, like the Super Bowl indicator, you mentioned that, Super Bowl indicator came in after the fact. After about 10 or 15 years of the Super Bowl, people started noticing, oh, well, isn't that interesting? Well, if you look at the track record of the Super Bowl indicator after it was first quote-unquote discovered, it's far more mediocre than it was prior to its discovery. In this particular case, however, the Halloween indicator, if anything, was actually been stronger since it was first noted. The first widespread academic publication of the research into this appeared in the very prestigious American Economic Review in the late 1990s. If you go back and look, the Halloween indicator, if anything, has been stronger since the late 90s than it was in the period prior to that. So this is one of those things that if you had asked me a priori to gauge, I would have said this has no validity whatsoever, but I have to take my hat off to the strength of the statistics that are far more impressive than I would otherwise have guessed.
He is Mark Hulbert.